Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can call them in at area code 646-716-4893. Or if you are a little shy on the radio, feel free to email me your comments or questions at bonkay@aol.com. You spell that bonkaye@aol.com. Tonight, before I introduce my very special guest and co-host, Dr. Brian Hooper, I would just like to make a couple of announcements. First, I want to remind people that we're just setting up for our new Healing Weekend in September, which will be in Southern California. I will have more details coming out in the next couple of weeks. But if you would like to be on my mailing list for the details, please just drop me a line at bonkay@aol.com. And I'll put you on my mailing list. I will also be announcing it on my website at gayhusbands.com in the next couple of weeks. I also want to mention to people that we do have support chat. It's now twice a week on Thursdays and Sundays. We're no longer doing Tuesday afternoons, but we do have Thursday and Sunday. And we also have our Adult Children of Gay Fathers support chat on Wednesday evenings. So if you're interested in getting more support, please let me know. Also, if you would like to be on my monthly newsletter mailing list, you can drop me a note at bonkay@aol.com. And now, if you don't feel like being on my mailing list, that's fine, because I've been posting my newsletters on my blog each month. So some people would rather not have them in their mailbox, and I understand that, if you don't have confidentiality, so you can check them on my blog. So without further ado, I'd like to say good evening to my very special friend and guest, Dr. Brian Hooper. Brian, how are you?
I'm well, my dear. How are you?
Good. It's been a long month since we last spoke.
Seems like it's been forever, but it's good to talk with you and catch up.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It does seem like it's been forever. So how have you been this month?
Well, as I said to several people today, it feels like life has returned to manageable in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of January, my sweet father died, and within the, you know, towards the very end of his living with Alzheimer's, when you know, it was really sort of the optimal place before it went super, super bad for him. It was really the right time, and I was very blessed to have a couple of weeks to be able to walk with him right up to the door. So I'm doing very well following that and trying to catch up with all of the paperwork that follows someone's death, and just about got that wrapped up and taking care of mom and moving on with my personal and professional life. So I'm doing fine, thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And how's your mom doing?
Yeah, she's doing okay. We spent a little bit of time today and together, a couple hours together, and just kind of catching up with her and helping her with a few little odds and ends around where she lives. So life is okay. She's coming along. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You know, I was really excited to find out that you have your own professional Facebook page. And I announced it on all of my social networking with all my groups, from our support groups and also on Facebook. I have a private page for our women, but also from our groups from Texas and from Philadelphia, from our retreat groups. So I put an announcement on every page I have, including my home page, that people should go to your page.
Thank you so much. That would account for some new ladies I'd never met before that are liking
mm-hmm.
my professional page. So thank you so much for that. I'm very excited about it. I'm trying to write a little something every day. And, you know, it's for a general audience of people who really want to have a thought for the day or a thought for every other day, something like that, from a psycho-spiritual perspective. So I hope they'll enjoy it.
I'm really excited about it because I haven't had enough time to really spend on it. I was just reading through parts of it. But if people who are listening who aren't part of my Facebook network there, they want to go to your page because I will put it in my next newsletter also. But do they find it through just going to Dr. Brian Hooper?
Yeah, I think if they just search for me in their Facebook, you know, on Facebook, they'll find it that way.
Yeah, I'm always a little confused because I know that when you sent me the email, it said to go to facebook.com/Nashville Counselor. But when I go there, it says on top, Dr. Brian Hooper. So can they just get there if they're on Facebook by going there?
You know, all I know is I'm not an expert either, so they can go to the link that I sent you, which is Facebook, what, Nashville
right,
Counselor?
Well, I think that's like if you're not on Facebook already. But I think if you're on Facebook, then you can just type in Dr. Dr. Period Brian and Hooper, like your name.
Yes,
getting there that way, too.
You're on Facebook, exactly. Yeah.
And if this makes no sense to you whatsoever, that's fine. Just email me and I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
How's that? That might
that's
do
awesome.
It.
That's awesome. Thanks. Thank you.
Well, a lot has happened this month, and we've had some interesting experiences with our Straight Life channel, and we're planning for our new healing weekend in September in Southern California. I'm really excited about that because we have many West Coast women, and hopefully I'll be getting to meet with some of them and meet some new ones, huh?
When is your Southern California meeting?
That's going to be in September.
September?
Yeah.
You know, that's my old stomping grounds. Where got you going to be? Do you know yet?
I know it is. Well, I'm going to be in Southern California. Not quite as south as you used to be, but like in the L.A. Orange County. We'll be in the L.A. Orange County area.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Maybe I can come out and join you all.
Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? I'm so excited about that, even thinking about that. That would really be wonderful. And I know that from our last healing weekend in Houston, it was so powerful and just so wonderful to see women be able to start their healing process or continue it or get some new energy by making new contacts and new support and new friends. So I think these healing weekends, even though the last one was a little trying because of the bad weather in Texas and I was delayed in getting home for 2 days, but even so, the women there were just so wonderful and so supportive. And we had one of our new new associates for the show, Janine Finelli. She's our health fitness coach for the group. Janine is really amazing. She gave a seminar. And we had Jason from our adult children, you know, support group there giving a seminar.
Right.
Well, yeah, it was really wonderful.
I'd really like to talk with you more about doing some brainstorming. Maybe I'll come out to California and do a seminar. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be great. So there's lots of stuff going on, and, of course, the problems don't change. You would think at this point people say to me, do you still get mail? Yes, I get more mail than ever, and it just seems that this problem never will go away. And I guess as long as people can't accept homosexuality, you know, because we live in a country and in a world that makes you not accept it because people are just so homophobic that men will always try to be somebody who they're not if they can be momentarily, the way I look at it. I think that so many of the gay men that I work with honestly feel that there was hope that they could be straight because they could perform sexually straight. And I really feel that that's possible for maybe 20% of gay men. Certainly not all gay men can perform heterosexually or want to, shall I put it that way, you know, as they become more defined in their sexuality in their teens.
Right.
I mean, although I always find confusing, Brian, maybe you can explain this, you know, to us, because a lot of our women find this confusing. How come some men are so clearly defined in their sexuality when they're young, and others are still questioning it or not even thinking that this is what they are? And not because necessarily of religion, because some people, you know, even though they're growing up with the messages that gay is evil and you're going to go to death, you know, be punished by death, even though they know that from their religious upbringing and cultural upbringing, they just still know I am gay and there's just no way I can be straight, while others are thinking, well, you know what, I can still have feelings for women. I can even perform heterosexually for women, so maybe I'm not gay. So is mm-hmm. there a way that some people know more so than others, or is it more defined in some people than others?
You know, that's one of the great questions that I plan to ask someday when I get beyond this mortal coil. I don't have a definitive answer, and I'm not going to try to think that I can give them a definitive answer, but I can give you some guesses about why that might be, and they're fairly educated guesses. I think one, we're all born with our own unique personalities that are then shaped by the environment. I don't believe that we're born as blank slates. I believe that we come into the world with some predispositions. And some people are born with, as my grandmother used to say, with a little bit more moxie than the rest of them. And they don't mind speaking up for themselves, and they're going to tell you how the cow ate the cabbage. And if you don't like it, that's going to be your problem. They're going to live their lives. And I think there are other people who, you know, come into this world, and it doesn't matter that maybe the message they're getting isn't a religious one. Maybe it's just a message that says, we don't accept gay folks in our culture, and by God, you know, you're straight and don't step out of line. And they have some, you know, they really want to conform because they really want mom and dad's approval and everybody else's approval. And they see that being straight, acting, and having a wife and kids is the ticket to success. And they, you know, they believe that that's really the only option. There must be something really wrong with them. And so they opt for what's going to seem to be the straightest way to success and happiness.
Right, and I do understand that, but my confusion, I guess, comes in this way. I know that there are gay men who, no matter what you would do or say or put a gun to their head, they still would not be able to perform sex with women.
Mm-hmm.
And at any point, it's not, even if they wanted to be straight, they would never mm-hmm. be able to pull off the sexual act. And yet there are mm-hmm. other gay men who can. So, I mean, is there some kind of difference in something there?
Clearly there's some sort of difference, but honest to goodness, I can't tell you why it is that some can manage to pull it off and others
mm-hmm.
can't. I really don't know. I can only imagine that it's dependent on their motivation, like so many things. You know, people can try to fake something because there's some other reward that they really, really want.
I don't know. I think that would be a good question for somebody to study. I think it's maybe
it's
a predictor of some kind about... I really do believe in my heart, you may not agree though, that some gay men truly are confused because of the fact they can perform heterosexually and it isn't more defined until later on in their lives. Some guys, when they're younger, they can just get turned on by anything, and yet others can't, no matter what you say or do.
Yeah, I think that there are some who, I wouldn't say confused. They're not so much confused as they're not clear yet, because
mm-hmm.
it hasn't occurred to them that embracing being gay is truly an option for them. They have an expectation they were raised with. They have an expectation of themselves. They find that perhaps they like the woman that they end up, say, getting married to. They enjoy all the other social things that come with being with her at certain events and activities. And there are other guys there that are with women, and they seem to be having a good time. So it all seems to make some sense. I met numerous men who, they got married. They really thought that they were... At that point in time, you know, they cared about the woman. They didn't think that they were faking it, but they
mm-hmm.
really had opened up to what their true feelings were inside.
Mm-hmm.
And when they tapped into that, they realized that that experience, when they got in touch with it, made everything else pale by comparison.
And those are men who are being honest with themselves also, even at a later point. Maybe they didn't define it quite. Maybe they knew they had the attractions, but they felt that they could overcome them because if given a choice in this world, I truly believe in my heart that most gay men would choose to be straight if it were a choice. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not
a
choice.
Do you want full societal approval and access, or do you want to be in a position where you have to experience what it's like to be a minority and prejudices that come with that, et cetera?
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to choose the easier path?
Right, exactly. And so I certainly do understand it, but there are a lot of men out there who finally do come to terms with themselves, and there are others who are in these marriages who won't come to terms with themselves. And here's something really interesting, Brian. I'm going to have a guest on in a few weeks. It's a young man I've been working with. I mean, he's not young. He's kind of like your age. I mean, he's not 17 or 18. And he's what I term the other man. And he's been in a relationship with a married gay man for a while. I mean, a man who's married to a woman, but he's gay. Making
right.
him all
so,
kinds of promises and telling him that this is
right.
what he's been looking for his whole life. And I work maybe with 40 or 50, you know, what I call other men every year, whose hearts were broken, just like ours are broken, who come to me, you know, looking for help and solace in understanding this and why aren't their boyfriends leaving their wives. And it's really sad because these guys are being played the same way their wives are being played.
Sure.
But in almost every case, you know, these guys aren't leaving. They're staying with their wives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them you need to find someone who's emotionally and physically free, and going with a married man is not the answer, no matter what he promises you. And
nope.
I think a lot of them start off, you know, meeting these guys in bars and saying, you know, I'm just trying to come to terms with myself, and I'm finally, and I'm, you know, I know that I must be, you know, it's a whole line. And
right.
so many of these guys are, you know, get hurt. And I try to explain to them, you know, the damage they've been doing to the wives also. And this
exactly.
one actually had a meeting with the wife because she kept texting and leave my husband alone. He was, you know, sitting and lying to her. And saying, well, this guy's going after me when he got kind of caught. And the guy, she actually texted the guy and met him. And in the end, her husband's denials of, you know, it was a mistake and it will never happen again, that's what she wanted to believe. And this poor guy, of course, you know, he realized he was screwed over by the married man. So I think it'll be interesting to hear his side so that women can understand that you're never safe, that your husbands are never going to be loyal to you if they're gay. You know, they may say they'll change, but he already caught this guy again on Craigslist, you know, advertising for somebody
sure.
else.
Sure.
Even though he swore to his wife that, you know, he'll never do it again.
Oh, faithful forever, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's so sad. But that brings me to something
very
else
sad.
That we were going to talk about tonight. And
okay.
I do get women contacting me on a pretty regular basis, maybe two or three a week, who are asking about their husbands being sex addicts. Now,
mm-hmm.
some of them are really hoping that their husbands are sex addicts because in their head that can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you say to a woman your husband is gay, that's like the death sentence because, you know, at this point
right.
most women know they're not going to change. But if your husband's a
right.
sex addict, they think that makes it so much better.
Yeah, because
so,
we have help for addiction, so if he's just an addict, then there's hope. That's what they're thinking,
exactly.
Right? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
So I was asking you if maybe you could talk to, you know, a little bit about this for women.
Sure, sure. I'll make a few points. Not all sex addicts are gay. That's probably obvious. Not all gay men are sex addicts. If a man is looking for sex with other men and seems to be addicted to that, or looking at porn and says that he's got a process addiction. That's what we call it when it's not with the substance but with the behavior, like looking at porn or gambling or, being a shopaholic or something like that, a process addiction. If he's looking at porn, he's addicted to that, and he's looking at gay porn, then he's not a straight man. He's a gay man, because straight men don't have porn addictions to gay porn. They're going to have porn addictions to straight porn. So, you know, I think that men may, who are gay, that are married, that are addicted to sex, or, you know, they're out looking for partners, if they say they're sex addicts, they're also fooling themselves as well as trying to, you know, fool the wife, because if they were straight, they'd be looking for women to be having sex with.
How about if they're looking for both?
Interesting question. Well, you know, they may be have sort of a fetish.
Mm-hmm.
There are men who, if they're going to have sex, they're going to have it with a woman, but they get off on watching other people have sex with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so there could be some of that sort of thing going on. Again, I keep coming back to the same question that I ask over and over again, and that is, did you sign up for this? And if this isn't what you want in your life, then it doesn't matter what the behavior is. You need to take care of yourself and get out of it.
I do believe that most women who come to me believe that there's help for this because, for instance, there's groups for this, you know, Sex Addicts Anonymous.
Right.
And they feel if they go to that, then that can cure them. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous can be very helpful for people getting over their addiction to compulsive sexual behavior, either going on Craigslist and cruising for sex there or porn, but it doesn't change people from one erotic orientation to another erotic orientation. It doesn't change gay men to straight or straight men to gay. And here's a point that I think is important to understand. People who are compulsively engaging in sexual behavior, be that with other people or with porn, are ultimately looking for a deep human connection, and they're confusing intimacy with sexual connection. And until they can accept themselves and love themselves, they really can't connect up with somebody sexually in a way that's going to be truly fulfilling for them. So they run from one person to another. And so what I'm saying is, a gay man who's married, who's out there cruising for sex, isn't really cruising for somebody to connect up with, because he hasn't connected up with his deepest self and accepted himself. Until he can do that and love himself, he's not going to be available to have a real connection with another man, and he's going to run back to the marriage where, you know, he gets the other perks of society and can keep the illusion going that he's, or delusion going that he's straight.
Mm-hmm. How about, do you believe that sexual addictions really can be cured?
Yeah, I think process addictions, there's good evidence that shows that people can get beyond that. Sure. Yeah, there sure is. But again, we move in the direction of our most dominant thought. When people want something else more than what they're doing, then they will change. But until they truly want that more, they're really not going to change.
I just think that I see so little change when it comes to addictions in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm certainly guilty of that myself, having a food addiction, even though I can do well for a long period of time. Boom. When it's time to fall, it's just time to fall, and there's nothing I can do to avoid it. So I, you know, also have experience with drug addiction, you know, in my family. And, you know, that's been something that's been very hard, you know, once you're involved with it, to overcome. There, you know, I think that all families suffer with some kind of addiction somewhere along the line. And maybe sex addiction can change, maybe when a person gets older and it's just not as appealing or whatever the case is. But I wouldn't want a man with a background of sexual addiction, period. I don't care who he was sleeping with. I would just never feel safe or secure. And yet, I just don't understand sexual addictions enough, because I have women whose husbands aren't sleeping with them, but they are sleeping with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's the thrill of something that's, you know, supposed to be a taboo, or maybe their wives, or they look at, they feel like it's more of a security thing, and the mother of their children, they don't want to have, I don't understand it. Do you?
Well, you know, I'm thinking of a client I'm working with right now who, when he was married, acted out a lot, had numerous partners. I mean, like one night stands, one afternoon stands with other men, and came clean with his wife, and ended up getting divorced, and still struggles to a certain extent with this. And part of it is a sense of both boredom and immediate sense of when life gets really hard, there's an immediate gratification. It's not fulfilling. It leaves him feeling hollow later, but in the moment, it feels really good. And that's the kind of thing that people have to have some really clear boundaries around to protect themselves from falling back into that, because, you know, it does gratify in the moment folks terribly, but not in the long haul.
And I don't know if I ever told you that I had a husband before my gay husband who was a sex addict. And he was a straight sex addict, but he was very happy just pleasing himself. He didn't have to go outside our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But he had such, in the beginning, you know, I was young, as in my, you know, early 20s. In the beginning, it's like really flattering that somebody wants to have sex with you like three times a day. You think to yourself, wow, I really excite this guy, you know. And, of course, your hormones are raging. So in the beginning, you know, for the first month or so, you're thinking, man, I'm really making this guy so happy, and he's so turned on by me. But let me tell you something. After a while, this isn't a pleasure anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just becomes a burden, and it's not like that person really is enjoying the sex with you. He's just enjoying the act of sex, if that makes sense.
I would be concerned about the compulsion of it. In other words,
right.
there are behaviors that people engage in that are compulsive that are no longer themselves satisfying, but there's the sense of getting anxious until they do the compulsion, and that calms them momentarily. You know, the ones that people are really aware of and they understand, or at least they've heard of, are things like hand washing. People
right,
who wash
it's a form of obsessive-compulsive behavior, and
exactly.
It manifests with some people sexually, and
right.
I understand all the emotional and mental, you know, parts of this. Of course, I didn't at that age. So
right.
But absolutely, it was a part of his. He had obsessive compulsive behavior in other ways as well, that it manifested sexually too. So it got to the point where I just said to him, "I can't do this. You know, it wasn't fun for me. I wasn't enjoying it." So he said, "Well, do you care if I do it myself?" I said, "No, be my guest." I was like relieved.
Yeah.
And you know, you just get real used to living with crazy, I guess, and that's what happened for me for a while.
If I was working with him, I would be wanting to know about his sense of self-acceptance and love, and what role love had played in his life growing up, what was perhaps missing for him.
Well, usually these guys come from the same kinds of families where there's a lot lacking, you know, as far as love and affection, and he did have other compulsive behaviors for sure. And I've seen other men who, you know, their obsessive compulsive behavior does manifest sexually into a, now I classify it as a sexual addiction, even though it may not be the same kind as running out and having loads of partners. The need to have sex continually, to me, becomes part of that obsessive compulsive behavior. And it's not even like pleasant sex, because part of that compulsion is just, you know, the movement. You know, that person can be having actual intercourse for like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and it's just part of that compulsion. And I think, like you said, they're looking for some kind of instant gratification whenever they want it, but it still becomes a problem. I mean, to me, it became a problem. My mother used to say to me, "Well, you went from sex three times a day to sex with nothing." You know, between these two husbands, you know, one extreme to the other extreme.
Right. And there's a lack of ability in these folks to feel content within themselves and to truly self, what we call self-soothe, that is, be able to take care of that anxiety in more appropriate ways. You know, but just to make the point that I think people can get over all sorts of addictions, when during the Vietnam War there was this fear that men coming back with heroin addictions were going to overwhelm the U.S. Army's psychiatrists in terms of their ability to respond to the number of people coming back who were hooked on heroin. And so the Army was really gearing up to try to figure out how to, you know, respond to these men turning. And the vast majority of them simply quit overnight when they came back because they wanted something more. They were returning to something they valued more than they did the high of the heroin. And they just stopped. And didn't
use it. Amazing, right?
Yeah. Stanton Peale talks about that in his book, I believe it's Seven Keys to Beating Addiction, P-E-E-L-E, Stanton Peale. And he's not loved by the 12-step community because he's providing an alternative perspective. I happen to have a lot of regard for him and his work. Patrick Carnes, in his work on process addictions, which are things, you know, such as gambling or use of porn or acting out sexually, has, you know, some very, very helpful stuff to help people dealing with that. And for those who stay with it, it really can work for them.
I guess. I just don't know. I just would have a lack of trust myself. I guess my ego is not strong enough to be living with somebody who has a sexual addiction.
It's not unreasonable. The other thing is, unfortunately, you know, not knowing how much protection was used and all of that, when we're sexually with somebody who's had numerous partners, we're being exposed to all those partners too. So, you know, one really needs to take that in consideration. And, you know, if you're risk averse, then you can really want to be with somebody who doesn't have that kind of issue in their past. And I wouldn't blame you for that. I don't think I would want to have to deal with that either.
I know. It's once again, like we always go back to, like you say, is this what you signed up for? And I always say life wasn't meant to be this complicated.
Right.
And I think anything that you're not comfortable with, you shouldn't have to live with.
Right.
But I do have, like, conflicting opinions all the time, people saying to me, well, you know what, nothing lasts forever. Marriages change all the time. People's needs change all the time. So, for instance, I was discussing with one friend in the last couple of days, and he's been a friend of mine for a long time, a gay friend. You know, he's a male, older male, you know, my age range. And he brought up to me about Cole Porter in the movie The Lovely, which, you know, I love that movie because I love Cole Porter and his music.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a well-known fact that Cole Porter married a woman, never consummated his marriage with her. He was
mm-hmm.
gay and knew so all his life, but he loved her and he married her. She came
mm-hmm.
from a very abusive previous marriage, which was very physically abusive. So
mm-hmm.
this is going back to the 1920s, and she didn't necessarily care if she was ever touched again because she was so beaten so badly, and she developed an emotional love for him without the need for sex.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying to me, well, see, there's all different kinds of love. And I said, well, that's true. And he said, you know, they loved each other like brother and a sister, I guess. I can't really call it a husband and a wife when there's, you know, sexual activity going on some other end, but not with the wife. And even though people care for each other, I mean, I still say, is that the kind of marriage you want?
Well,
not
that
to say it doesn't happen, right?
That's the point. I'm not going to sit here and make a judgment about is the relationship that Cole Porter had with her right, wrong, or in between. I am going to say, okay, it worked for them. Apparently they both knew and they were respectful. And if that's how they were able to help take care of each other in life, okay. But I wouldn't want that for me. And most women who get married to a man and say, I do, for better or worse, you know, that's not what they're signing up for either. They want somebody
who's
faithful to them. And yes, an infidelity may happen now and then. People do take each other back and they work through it. And sometimes marriages are stronger with that. But the infidelities that they get over are the kind, I think, that happen between two heterosexual people. When you've got a mixed sexual orientation marriage and the one person expects, gee, I thought I married a heterosexual, but he's
mm-hmm.
having sex with a woman, then that's a whole nother ballgame. How do you compete with, how does a married woman compete with a man when her husband truly, apparently, prefers sex with men? I mean, there is no, and I don't even like the word compete, but it's not the marriage that needs to be healed. It's the guy who needs to be healed from living the deception, and the best healing that can happen, I think, in those situations is when people choose to recognize the mistake that was made and move on.
I agree, and that's a beautiful thing about life that I tell people all the time. Life gives you that opportunity to start new every day. You can make a mistake, but you can fix a mistake also. You don't have to keep living in that mistake. But I think people are fearful, and I think the longer they stay in a marriage, many times I see women are more afraid to leave it because
mm-hmm.
they've been emotionally stripped down for so many years that they've lost their self-confidence. And they're confused because their husbands keep saying, it's not me, it's you. I'm not the problem, you're the problem. Their husbands
mm-hmm.
aren't being honest with them most of the time, you know, and lying to them. And
mm-hmm.
they become kind of complacent, and they stay together 35, 40, 50 years. And I used to say, forget it, you know, I can't work with you. But I've now changed that because I realize there are some women who really have to first become emotionally free
mm-hmm.
before they can ever consider becoming physically free. And there are some women who will never be free, but I still try to support them as long as they understand and not deluding themselves that I have a wonderful marriage. And some
Bonnie,
women are really stuck. Yes.
Bonnie, you work with the women and you help them embrace themselves so that they can define themselves and step away. And I'll work with the men because in order before they can truly come out to their wives in the world, they have to come out to themselves. And they have to give over.
Usually the only time I hear from men, you know, I hear from maybe two or three men every week. But
sure.
The point I hear from them is the point when they're already having a boyfriend.
Of course.
They already know what they are and they have to get out. I don't work with men who are confused. They're just confused how they're getting out.
Right.
But it's true.
Yep,
That's why I try to send all my men to you, whether they're confused or not, to get clarification.
But what I'm saying
is you know you have to get out, how you get out.
In either case, both of them have to truly move on, they both have to embrace themselves, accept themselves, and then they can begin to move on. So the women you're working with have to love themselves, affirm themselves. And in many cases, I think it's practical, too, financially. I mean, who has the money and the power in their individual relationship, their marriage that they're in? You know, in many cases, unfortunately, the husbands have that power. And I've seen that with, you know, with women who are married to straight men. And they're kind of in a gilded cage. They're unhappy, but they're afraid of what will happen to them if they try to get out. And it's a tough situation.
It is. I mean, there's so many complexities. You know, I saw an advertisement the other night about this film on divorce and how it's one of the biggest businesses in this country and how many people are destroyed from it, literally destroyed financially, you know, mentally, in every way possible, because it's become such big business as far as lawyers charging $400 an hour or $350 an hour. And you fight over every little scrap there is to fight over and end up losing so much. I mean, people have been driven to the brink over this whole system of divorce in this country that there is no easy way. And especially when there are children who are involved, visitation that's involved. You know, I think with the straight gay marriages, the issues become so more complex. So more complex as far as the children are concerned. And, you know, a lot of times it's a control issue. And, I mean, I even have women who have it as part of their, you know, one specific one who has a part of her divorce, you know, a non-disclosure clause in there that if she discloses that her husband's gay to anyone, including her children, that she'll be in violation of the divorce agreement. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
She can't even talk about it. I mean, her husband's living an openly gay lifestyle. He has a boyfriend. But she's not allowed to discuss it, even with the children. And they're adults. They're married. They have children.
Yeah.
That was part of the divorce agreement, and that was the best she could get in order for to get any kind of settlement.
Wow.
I know. That's what I say. So many of these are so much trickier than just regular divorces. And I always don't get it, Brian, because I'll be honest. And, you know, I try to be really fair, and I do work with a lot of men, and I do really feel sympathy for many of them. But I always believe in accountability. So you got married, you were kind of hoping your sexuality issues would go away, but they didn't, so now you want to get out of the marriage. Okay, so I understand that, but can't you be responsible about it? Like, tell your wife the truth that it wasn't her fault the marriage went wrong. Don't look to place blame on her by saying, well, gay wasn't the issue, you're really, you know, not a great housekeeper or whatever the case is. And take responsibility and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let me help you through this and to move on to the next part of your life. And if men would do this, we wouldn't have an issue, trust me. I mean, we'd be hurt, we'd be upset, but life could go on and start over. And I feel that's the least I expect from this. Is that too much to expect, do you think?
Well, when I work with gay men who let me know what's going on, You know, I always encourage them, when once they understand that staying in the marriage is not going to cause them to go from gay to straight, once they get that clear, then I say to them, you know, you really owe it to her to come clean, to answer the relevant questions she has, because she's not going to understand. Listen, it took you a long time to figure it out, so it's going to take her a while. Don't expect acceptance overnight, but do the right thing. Face the music. It'll hurt like hell. It'll be the worst day of life and hurts, but it won't last forever. You know, you can get beyond this. Now, I'm not making excuses for those men who don't come clean, but I will tell you that there are some who, particularly from religious communities, who continue to believe the lie that they really are straight, and they just may keep making this bad choice because their family in the church has said to them, you know, you're truly straight, God only makes straight men, and you just need to embrace your straightness and everything will be okay. And, you know, they do that for a few weeks or a few months and occasionally a few years, and then they go through the cycle all over again. And we've seen this with, you know, religious figures who have fallen from their pulpits numerous times. We went through that with the head of the one of the religious right organizations out of Colorado just a few years back, you know, and all those. And again, I'm not making excuses, but I am saying it's like it's, and you know, and I'm a religious man, but I'm saying there's a lot of religious backgrounds that really are engaging in thought reform. No, you're not thinking what you're thinking. You're not feeling what you think you're feeling. That's just a delusion. That's just a thought put in your head by the devil. That's not who you know you really are. And people feel very pressured by those little communities to accept that preaching and teaching. And if you're with a man and that's his attitude, I would say to the ladies, don't wait for him to figure it out. You figure out how to take care of yourself now, because it's not going to change. It's just going to be one disappointment after the next.
And I do understand it on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level, I still say, even if you end up not telling your wife why, because you're afraid, then at least you'll do the right thing. Don't blame her for the divorce. You know, say you're having, say it's your own issues. Don't make it her issues. And still, you need to be financially and emotionally responsible to that family. I see so many women who are left in the dust here while their husbands go off and make a new life, and their husbands have had all these years to think about it and to accept who they are and lead a life behind the wives of their backs. And yet there's no, it's like, you know, they don't feel bad about this at all. They're not trying to make any kind of restitution in the sense of doing the right thing by their wives.
Yeah.
And I just feel that it's wrong. I'm sorry.
Well,
I just feel that these guys need to do something.
And let me respond, if I may, for a moment to your gay friend who said, well, people's life, you know, people's needs change over time. And so... And the impression I got was, so maybe we really shouldn't have these institutional boundaries around marriage so much. I mean, I didn't hear you say that, but that's the impression I got. So I'm going to run with that question for just a moment. My parents were married for 65 years, and their needs changed over time. My father's need never changed from being a straight man, nor did my mother's need change from being a straight woman. How they did some things in their marriage changed over time, but you know what? They talked to each other. They talked to each other, and their first commitment was to keep the marriage together. And within that boundary, they figured out how to make the changes that they needed to make, and they worked it out. I am so committed to marriage. It sounds funny. I'm a straight man. I'm so committed to marriage. I want it for straight people, and I want it for gay people, too, because there's a safety and a freedom that comes that can only be known within the boundaries of the commitment where one says, and forsaking all others, I choose you. And, you know, my parents chose each other every day, not just the day they got married, but they chose each other every day. And some days I have the impression we're a little harder than others, but they chose each other every day. And I think that that's a value that needs to be explored and held up today by both straight and gay folks. You know, I'm not judging.
Well, I think it's a very different time today than when your parents got married. You know, the expectations then were so different than what they are today.
The expectations were different, you know, and expectations have changed over time, and I realize it's, you know, marriage isn't the economic arrangement that it was in the ancient Near East and even in the Middle Ages since the Industrial Revolution. I get all that sociological stuff. But I do know psychologically, and that's my bailiwick, psychologically for people, there is a security and a freedom that comes within knowing you're going to walk with me on this journey called life. And I think it's one that needs to be explored and celebrated while all these other, quote, alternatives are being explored and celebrated. And again, if somebody...
I think what the problem is, Brian, is that so many of these marriages took place when people were much too young and undefined in who they were.
Yeah, I would
agree.
And
they married for the wrong reasons, and they were not good matches. And I'm a really big advocate in divorce. You know, I love a good marriage when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I love to see a good marriage. I've seen some really happy marriages where exactly what you're saying is going on,
mm-hmm.
that people age together beautifully, they're best friends together, they do everything, you know, together, but they have, you know, their own friends, their own lives, and some are very tied in and love each other, you know, with their whole lives. But I see much less than marriages that took place when in their 20s, when people didn't know who they were, or they had their own issues, or they felt they had to get married because they had pressure on them from their families. And I say that if you did get married and you find that it's not going the way you want it to, you're unhappy, and you really try, but you just aren't that same person. You know, you've grown in the years and your husband grew in a different direction. And that's with a straight marriage, not with a straight gay marriage. But I feel that a lot of marriages just weren't meant to be, and people can't work it through. And they struggle, and they struggle. And I just feel that maybe there are real soulmates out there, and they just have to meet the real soulmate.
Yeah,
so.
I would agree. I would agree. Don't stay in an emotionally or physically abusive marriage. You don't have to do that.
You know, in this month's newsletter that I wrote, and I was talking to my boyfriend today about it, because I didn't really talk to him about it when I wrote it, because, you know, I did mention our relationship very briefly. But what I said about it is this, and we're both older, okay, he's old, I'm pretty old. And the truth is that, you know, we're together 20 years, we are not married, but we have a very loving, caring relationship, and I'm still madly in love with him.
Yes.
We still have a wonderful sex life and passion and intimacy, even if we're not up to, you know, the other end, if we're not feeling good, we can lay in each other's arms and be very happy. But what I said in this article is that it's so nice, you know, when I lived with my gay husband, I always felt minimized. He never made me feel that anything that I had to say was worth anything. He would say, well, if we're having problems in the marriage, I don't feel that way. You feel that way. Everything's fine on my end. It's your end. It's you. So he minimized me in every possible way to make me feel that my opinions didn't count.
Uh-huh.
With my boyfriend, he's really maximized me to always make me feel that I'm worthy, that I'm, you know, somebody to be loved, that he loves being with me, even if I'm older, right? So, I mean, the difference in a good relationship is that you have to always feel... I mean, every day is not going to be good like it wasn't with your parents. You have good days, off days. But the most days should be good days, and you should always feel that your partner is maximizing you and not minimizing you.
I would agree. I get a quick question for you, because we're getting close to being out of time, not quite. Are you exclusive with each other?
Yes, we are.
And you've been together for 20 years?
Yes, we have.
Well, congratulations. I think you've got a lovely marriage.
Well, sort of, kind of. Without saying that word, or without living together all the time.
It's the commitment.
It works for us.
It's the commitment in your heart,
and you've got
boundaries around it, don't you?
Not too many. I mean, look.
Well, you don't go for other men, and he doesn't go for other women.
Absolutely. If he did, I would have to kill him. That would be the end of it. You know, that's one thing I would never be able to live with. You know, my ego just wouldn't take it. That's why, like you say, when women or men who are straight, you know, do go into other relationships, can they get back together and overcome that? Yes, I do see it. I wouldn't be one of them. You know,
well,
I'm jealous of his past before I met him.
So much. You've been through so much.
Well, it's not that. I just, you know, people always know what they can live with, and I just couldn't live with that. That would be the deal breaker. I feel I put everything I have into him. I expect him at least to do that. And, you know, and that's worked for us. But I'm very much in love with him, and I need that in my life.
And let me say, I just love you, and I am so happy you've got somebody who appreciates you and loves you and can hold you. I think that's awesome.
He really loves me. He thinks I'm really funny, and he thinks I'm really sexy, and I really turn him on. And, you know, he's old, and we still have a great sex life. So.
There you go. Good on you.
And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying it to inspire others, that just because you're older doesn't mean you still can't have a piece of that.
I knew of a professor who was in his mid to late 70s at a Lutheran college, and he was teaching a course on marriage, and one of the students said to him, "So professor, when does a person get tired of sex?" And he said, "I don't know. I'll let you know when I do."
Well, that's right. Well, Tony Randall was 83 and having children, so we don't let anything discourage us.
Yeah.
Or do we feel guilty over it. It's a pleasure. I mean, it's, like my boyfriend always says to me, it's how he expresses how much he loves me. Because, you know, making love is like the best part, but it's certainly not the only part. But it's always the highlight of, you know, our relationship.
Good.
So, I mean, that may be more information than many people want to know, but I don't care. I always talk about it. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed. I'm really happy that I have that.
Well,
so it just
and
goes
you know,
to show that you can be together a long time, and you can still make love to your partner and love your partner. I'm still very much in love with him.
Right.
But I attribute that to the fact that I'm not married to him.
Oh,
I think if I had to live with somebody every day, that magic would somehow magically, in time, just still not have that same sense of excitement. But every woman is different.
I'm not going to challenge you. It sounds like you're making it work for you, and that's great.
And you know what? I always tell women that, you know, there's different kinds of women. Some love the companionship. I love the being in love, you know, and there's no crime in either way. Whatever works for you, works for you.
That's right.
You just have to feel fulfilled by the person who's your partner. And
that's
not
right.
Have to feel minimized by that person that you're not good enough for anything. I guess that was
and
my point.
And let's just say to the ladies out there, you deserve real love, real care, real compassion,
mm-hmm.
real companionship
mm-hmm.
in your lives. You're worth it. You're beautiful. Look in the mirror tonight and look into your eyes and say, I love you, I accept you, and I'm going to take care of you. Say, I love you, I accept you, I'm going to take care of you. Say that every morning and every night.
Right, because if you can't love yourself, then you'll never understand what real love
nobody
is
else.
About, I always say, right?
Right.
Hey, Brian, our time is over
please.
Again. It went so fast, and I thank you so much for co-hosting with me every month. It gives me something to look forward to every month, and our women, of course. And for women who need counseling, men who need counseling, Brian is available for counseling. He does it in person, but also through Skype, through telephone counseling. So you can always reach him at his website, drbrianhooper.com. Correct? Or they can reach you through Facebook, right?
I now have videos. I have 6 videos, so you can kind of get to meet me before you meet me.
I know. I can't wait to watch them this week. I'm really excited about finding out there are videos on your Facebook page, too. So, once again, if you go to Facebook, Dr. Brian Hooper, you'll be able to go into his page. And please click like, because you're going to love it. And we'll keep up in reading what you write about through the month, and we can discuss it at the end when you come back next month.
That'll keep me writing. Thanks so much.
Now you're on the spot. Well, Brian,
okay,
thank you so much, and you know I love you. And to all of our listeners out there, we'll be back with you next week, and have a wonderful week. Brian, I love you.
Love you, too. Good night, sweetie.
All right, good night.